contract? Okay. So we would recommend that, what standard default service would be curb service, meaning that the hauler pulls up to a certain location, services the cart, and if they have to, get out and dump something, but at a central location where they're not getting off the other, they're not having to go up a long driveway or, you know, hundreds of yards down a road or something, that there needs to be a component for pricing in there, and I just want to make sure that you're on board with that.
Yeah.
It'd be impressive. Okay. Vacation hold. Do you want to have that vacation hold as an option? That is something that we heard about during the public meetings that we had last fall. There were a couple of people that raised that issue. I talked to a gentleman when I was here during that time that was packing up and going to Arizona for the winter, and that was one of the things he mentioned to me up here was, well, you know, I'll still be paying my trash bill all winter while I'm gone. It seems that there should be an opportunity to do a vacation hold, but it needs to be defined. It needs to be defined what that is, how long it is, and how much it is. Is it 100% of the service cost, or as I mentioned earlier, there's still some component of cost that resides there, whether the person's putting garbage in their cart or not. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't feel a need to drive a hard bargain on that, but I think having the option available is good.
Yep.
Okay.
We do have some snowbirds up in my area.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like, just for sake of discussion, my thought is that if somebody wants a vacation hold, and I don't care if it's a couple of weeks or a couple of months, it should be limited, I think, to a couple of months. But whether it's a couple of weeks or a couple of months, that it be a percentage of the service fee, not the total service fee. And so I'll rationalize that and put it in the document, and you guys can discuss it.
That works.
Okay. All right, animal-resistant carts. We did hear some issues regarding raccoons and skunks and bears liking to forage through the garbage. Do you want a service fee for users, whether it's commercial or residential, for animal-resistant carts?
Yeah, we need to have that option.
Okay.
Currently, right now, we pay an extra rental fee for a bear cart. That's the way it's set up right now.
Yeah, and so we will we'll just ask for a separate price. Like if we're going to have, if people are going to use the service, it wouldn't be a rental fee. It would just be a component of their fee, because the fee for service with a bear cart is $15 a week, not $10 a week,
right,
or whatever.
That works.
Okay. All right. We already talked about this. Will residents be able to use their own cart? This is under residential service questions. Will residents be able to use their own carts or use hauler-provided carts? And my recommendation there is if they're going to use their own, we have to provide a mechanism to deal with the liability issue.
That works.
And I do think that it is important that all of the garbage that's going to be picked up be containerized, whether it's a company-provided cart or a user provided cart, because that has become a huge issue. It's one of the biggest costs that's driving industry escalation of costs is back injuries.
Yep.
And it's always been a component of the service in this sector, but it's really being recognized in the law and in application of workers' comp claims.
So current situation is they allow for additional, like, bags and stuff?
Yeah, they do.
They'll take them if...
I think our current contract allows 6 96-gallon trash cans a week, 96-gallon size. Mm-hmm. So, but I've heard, you know, sometimes they'll pick up bags, sometimes they won't.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, for the benefit of everybody, it should be in a container.
Yeah.
That'll help minimize the wildlife situation.
Yeah, so maybe we ask for them to be as concessionary as possible on additional containers. So on a second, third, or fourth cart, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's incremental increases as opposed to full increases.
Sure. So what you would actually see there is where service is automated in communities, and you've already defined this community is actually different from a lot of really densely zoned urban areas or suburban areas, where every household gets three carts. They get a garbage cart, an organics cart, and a recycling cart. And usually those three carts are the default service. Everybody gets that.
Right.
If you want an additional garbage cart, it's an incremental fee over and above. If you want an extra organics cart, it's usually free. If you want an extra recycling cart, it's usually free. But if you're going to get an extra garbage cart, it wouldn't double the price,
right.
But it would. There would be an extra fee.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Curbside recycling. I think we heard from some folks during the public meetings that they were happy with being able to drop off their recyclables at different places. But as a component of default service in there, we could require that everybody give us a proposal to collect recyclables at every house. You know, just like they, but it would mean a second truck and
I find it hard to believe that would be efficient for the cost that would be incurred. So I think leaving the option for people to drop off their own recycling is kind of that happy medium that works for our communities.
Mm-hmm. At no charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At no charge.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we found this a few years ago in Carson City, and it wasn't something when I came to town that I would have thought was a big problem, but as a matter of fact, it was. And that is, they have seasonal leaf and pine needle issues in Carson City that just overwhelm the system. And they wanted in their service agreement this seasonal accommodation for pine needles and leaf collection by the contractor. I don't know that that's an issue here in these communities, but if it is, you know, we could include it.
Sagebrush?
Yeah, my yard grows rocks.
Yeah.
I'm fine to leave them where they are.
I think we'll just, I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
I mean, you either throw away a bunch of sagebrush this week, or you throw away house trash.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
Fire district, U-Haul.
Yeah, true. U-Haul, we haul.
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay.
Yep, I'd leave that out.
Okay, and then really we've already discussed the last item here at the industrial complex. Will service be open or exclusive? And will recycling service be required? I don't think we actually discussed that, but all of those folks out there are, I shouldn't say all of them, I would say a large percentage of the businesses that are going to locate in the industrial center are going to be pretty significant producers of recyclable stuff. And so do we want the recycling included in the mandatory service that's going to be required out there, and would it be exclusive, or do you want to leave that open to other service providers?
That our current agreement right now has waste is mandatory on a try, and then what's exclusive to the franchise is loose recycling. you get a big dumpster out there, people throwing plastic and garbage in it, and the question is, well, what if there's a banana peel in there? What if there's a little bit of garbage? At what point does it become an issue as far as whether this is going to be franchised or not? So we just put everything into the franchise. The only thing that's not in the franchise right now is baled and prepared recycling. Pretty much self-explanatory. If you have that, and then somebody's going to come and pick that up for you, it's good. You can do it free market. If that's pretty much it. We talked a little bit, Joe and I, about how do you manage and allow the loose recyclables to be free market while you have exclusive for the garbage, allow people to go ahead and collect as they want, and then there's some enforcement. But Joe, you might want to explain a little bit.
Okay.
You can enforce that. That can be done. It's a little bit of a pain, but it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. So again, my perspective admittedly comes from more of a densely populated suburban area where you have route density and the collection company bases their pricing on a specific expectation of what's going to be generated in the service area. So I think we've already talked about mandatory and exclusive for the garbage, but what will happen is that, you know, there will be some enterprising entity that will come in there and claim to be recycling, but in fact it'll be, you know, half cardboard and half banana peels. And so the way that that's been addressed in other communities is this. If it has any what's identified as putrescible waste, meaning that it decomposes and stinks, if it has any putrescible waste at all, even if it's a banana peel, it's not a recyclable one. Okay? That falls within the mandatory exclusive domain of the garbage collection enterprise. Also, some communities have handled it in such a way that, like the baled commodities, which is if somebody's paying you to take this stuff away, you can do whatever you want with it. So if you're being paid by a service provider to remove this material from your premises, that falls outside the franchise.
Or free, I think that's the current.
Yeah, if it's free or you're receiving revenue, it falls outside the franchise. And also, if it has any putrescible waste in the load, the container, the dumpster, the cart, whatever, the roll-off, then that also falls inside the franchise agreement. So, you know, as a part of the mandatory service component. So, did I cover what we discussed?
I believe so.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So, like I said, one banana peel, one anything, it is.
Yeah.
And I know in the last year, there was a lot of pushback. There was a lot of discussion of
whether
these loose recyclables should be considered or not. I think that's an important thing to make sure we have what you all want to do.
If we were doing cart-type recycling at every house in the community, if we were going to provide that service, that what could go in that cart is newspaper, junk mail, cardboard boxes, anything that's a plastic bottle or aluminum cans or tin cans, glass bottles, all that stuff, it would all go in that one single cart. And, you know, to the unschooled eye, if you dumped all that out, it would look like a pile of garbage, but it's mixed recyclables. That's okay, but once you start putting, the turkey carcass from Thanksgiving dinner in that cart, it fouls it, it becomes refuse, it's
sure.
No longer recycling. And that's the idea. That's the idea of what you would.
Sure.
And then, again, it becomes a challenge for enforcement. Because really the person who would be bird dogging it would be whoever the successful contractor is. So that person would be essentially the reporting mechanism to you, who would say, we've got a generator out here who says that they're recycling, but actually they're just getting their trash hauled away outside the franchise agreement.
I think most of the discussion, Joe, was just out at Tri-Center. And so you indicated that they even take pictures of the garbage, and if they take a picture of a can or a dumpster out there that has mixed garbage in it, they would report to us.
Yeah.
And then we would send a letter to them saying you're violating the franchise agreement, stop immediately.
Yeah.
Do you think, based on other jurisdictions you've experienced, that this is manageable and that we could have loose recycling that is free market and with a franchisee or a franchisor?
You know, you may have to hire a consultant to help you with that. Anyway.
Yeah, you know anyone?
I'm trying. That was my attempt at humor. The answer to that is yes, it becomes very manageable. I mean, particularly the larger companies, but certainly it's doable by the smaller ones. With the technology, there's nobody driving one of these trucks that doesn't have at least one of these in the cab. And it is very easy to just snap a picture, you know, send it in, and say, here's the service address, this is the violation, and then, you know, we would have in the contract that process. You know, whatever the process that you decide, to, you know, you get a warning, and then the second time you get a fine, you know, what or however you decide. That'd be a process for you to decide.
Yeah, so here's my take on this issue. I found it particularly troubling the last time, more as much because there were established businesses already doing business out there that in essence had to give up that business. We're now coming up on 5 years where there's exclusivity with the exception of free or being paid for it. And so I can't help but think that this would also be a portion of the carrot that gets us the other things that we need that we would maybe have a tougher time getting otherwise. When you add to that the fact that it's an open process, that everyone has a chance to bid on the whole enchilada, I don't have a problem restricting it. While certainly where it's possible, I'm a huge advocate of free market activity, this whole exercise puts the free market on the bidding side in exchange for a benefit and a necessary service for the county. So I don't have a problem personally giving exclusivity under similar rules that we currently have to continue that same thing out at the business park.
Including for loose recyclables?
Correct.
And not for bail recyclables?
Correct.
That works for me.
Okay. Good. Well, unless you have questions or anybody else has questions, that covers everything that I intended to get on the table today.
Great. Do you have anything?
I would just point out, it's on the screen there, but the free dump vouchers seem to be an incredibly popular component, and I think that's something we want to continue.
Let me clarify that. So Lyon County Waste Management mails them out. Currently, you come and get the dump vouchers here. I don't know if that's important to us that you have them manage the dump vouchers rather than the county managing them. I mean, it falls in the lap of our office. Is that a big burden that we need to manage those dump vouchers?
It's not a big burden. It is an interruption, especially if no one's there and somebody comes up to get them. But they can also get them at Public Works. They can also go to other places.
Do you want to see Waste Management manage those vouchers, or you don't care?
I think the residents see it as a county benefit when they come to the county to get it.
Okay.
I don't know if that matters or not, but I could go either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making sure it's not a burden.
Yeah, I think I think the perception is positive when it comes through the office, but if it is a burden, it seems like it wouldn't be that difficult for them to put it in the first billing cycle of the year and send it. You know what I mean? It's not like they're going to have the same level of servicing that we would, because they already have a mechanism for sending a bill to customers.
Right.
I was bidding, there was some conversation in the first group that they felt that they mailed them to everybody would use them, and that would translate into some kind of carryover in the fees, where if we handed them out individually, less people use them. That's just what they said. I don't know if it's valid or not. It makes a difference, but mailing them out, everybody's got them. And they give us a stack this tall already anyway. It doesn't get to print anything differently.
I just want to make sure it's not a burden to the office staff. If it's not, then
I would. Do you mind if I?
Nope.
I'd recommend that it. Yeah. Okay. I would recommend that you continue to do it here, because as long as you're essentially assigning these to a generator, an address, you know, a specific place, you know, when we put that provision in the RFP, we're going to say you're going to get whatever number you decide, 2 or 6 or whatever many vouchers to use at the transfer station for the equivalent of 1 cubic yard of trash or whatever it is, whatever limitation.
3 vouchers, 3 cubic yards.
3 yards per voucher. Okay. All right, so let's just say you continue with that. The only problem about any kind of a mass mailing is that you're not sure who gets them and who passes them around, and you get people that call and say, you didn't send my vouchers, and,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. It just makes it a lot more precise, and you really have a little better control over it if it's managed through an office.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if it becomes a burden in the commissioner's office, we can look at some of the other county offices that are required to be staffed on a regular basis anyway for customer service functions. And maybe there's an efficiency there anyway.
The DMV and dump vouchers?
Yes.
Careful now.
Yeah, plenty of time. All right. Well, thank you. Is there any comment from the public regarding anything we talked about? Before we say goodbye to Joe for a month? Anybody online?
Nope, I don't see any other questions.
Okay. We need to give him a formal motion.
Yeah, is there some action here, or does the workshop come from?
I think you've got what the county's interested in.
Yeah, so the action points will come next time. So this is just a discussion to guide us in the formulation of the RFP document.
Okay, great.
Well, in the meantime, happy to still receive input from the public in between now and the next meeting. So
yeah, just one more time. Nobody in the public wants to speak up about anything. Nope. Okay.
I will say this as well, is that after our next meeting in mm-hmm. which we try to finalize the documents, then we will have pre-bid meetings for prospective or potential proposers, and those things will be open to the public as well.
Okay.
So yeah, there'll still be opportunity for input.
Great.
There is a motion prepared, especially just to direct staff and consultant to proceed according to this conversation. If this board would do that, it might just be good for the record.
Sure. Sounds good. You got your motion pulled?
Yep.
All right. So we've done public comment, commissioner comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct staff and RFP contractor to include elements discussed at today's meeting in a draft RFP for a successor franchise agreement for the collection, transfer, processing, and disposal of municipal solid waste and recyclables in Story County, and to bring a draft RFP back to the board for further consideration.
All right, there's a motion. I'm going to second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Joe. Safe trip back.
Thank you.
All right. Shouldn't be snowing when you come back in April. All right. Moving right along to item number 10 on today's agenda, this discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of the selection of an auditor for fiscal year ending June 30, 2023. Comptroller McCain, are you with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.